In the song that Larry just sang a few moments ago. By the way, Larry, do you know who wrote that song? I can't think of the guy's name. I can see him. I know Mark Lowry. I could not think of the vocal band. Okay, no, it wasn't the trio. Anyway, he wrote that song. And in that song, he asks 12 specific, there is a 13th that was stated in the declarative mood and as a positive statement, but really the idea behind it is, did Mary know that these things were going to come to pass? Let me reiterate those 13 different things. Mary, did you know that Jesus, this baby, would walk on water? Now, the point behind the question was that he would be able to do that which is miraculous. Mary, did you know that your baby would save our sons and daughters? Sons and daughters always is looking towards the future. In other words, that the day and age that he would bring in would be an age that would be a glorious day and age, looking prophetically to the future. Mary, did you know that this baby has come to make you a new person? That not only is he going to minister to the future generations, but he is going to come to make you a better person. Mary, did you know that the baby that you're going to deliver would one day soon deliver you? That he would die for your sins and deliver you from the power of sin in your life? Mary, did you know that this baby would give sight to the blind? Once again, not only a demonstration of the miraculous, but the ability to provide healing to mankind that was overcome with sin's consequences. Mary, did you know that this baby would calm the storm with his hand? He would have power over nature. Mary, did you know that this baby walked where angels have trod? That he's come from heaven? Mary, did you know that when you kiss your baby, you've kissed the face of God? That the baby that you are going to give birth to is actually God himself. Now, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will walk, the dumb will speak. Once again, the idea of bringing benefit or having mercy upon mankind that is in need. Mary, did you know that this little baby is the Lord of all creation, that he is the one who spoke and the world came into existence? Mary, did you know that this little baby will one day rule the nations? Not only is the time ahead going to be a great time, but he's actually going to sit upon a throne and literally rule the world. Mary, did you know that your baby is heaven's perfect lamb? A reference, I believe, back to when Abraham took up Isaac. And Isaac looked around and he said, "Dad, I see the fire and I see all the stuff, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham responded, "God will provide himself a lamb." I believe that Jesus, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," is actually fulfilling what Abraham had prophesied back in Genesis chapter 22. And then finally, the last one, Mary, did you know that this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am, the eternal one, the self-existent one? Great, wonderful Christmas carol. Not jingle bells. But there's one little problem that I have with the song. And maybe it's only personal, but the mood that the song creates, at least in my mind, is one that answers all 13 of these questions. You really didn't know these things, did you? I don't know. I got a little bit of extra time since there's no Bible quiz here tonight, and I plan on using all of it. How many of you got a negative feel of that? You believed in his idea that Mary had no idea that all these things were going to be true? Just Mark and I. Well, Larry, okay. The rest of you believe that Mary knew all these things by the song. not your own personal opinion, by the mood that the song creates. I don't know. It just seemed like he was saying that it was a negative thing. May I say to you tonight, I believe that Mary knew an affirmative answer to all 13 of these questions. Now you say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I believe the Bible tells us that she did. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. And I want to share with you how she knew all these things were going to come to pass. Because all these things, if someone was asking her the night that Jesus was born, if she knew, they were all yet future as far as fulfillment, at least in her own knowledge. How could she know the future then would be the question. Luke chapter 1, and I want to begin reading at verse 26. And in the sixth month, that would be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, as we studied this morning. She hid herself for 5 months, and then after that, she came back, and now it is the sixth month, so it's been a month, in which time, obviously, by the sixth month, her pregnancy is quite revealing. It's no longer capable of being hidden, and she's making it known to people that she is with child. The angel Gabriel, which is the same angel that appeared to Zacharias in the temple, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Roman Catholicism has taken these words and has literally turn them upside down as to their meaning. The word favored here is the same word that is consistently translated throughout the New Testament by the word grace. Grace, defined theologically, defined biblically, is unmerited favor. Hail, greetings, thou art without merit given blessing of God. Now, Catholicism believes in what's called the Immaculate Conception. That does not refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That refers to Mary. That Mary was born without sin. In Catholicism's mind, this was necessary in order for her to be the mother of Christ. That if she was tainted with sin, then she would have tainted her son, and therefore she had to be free from sin herself. The problem with that is a number of things. First, it doesn't make her a natural human being. Therefore, you bring into question the genuineness of Jesus' humanity and his association with mankind. But on top of that, it makes her worthy of God's blessing. The verse here says, Thou hast been highly graced. You have been given exceeding grace, which is unmerited. The Lord is with thee. Well, he was with a lot of people. That didn't necessarily set her apart from everyone else. Certainly, they put her in select company. But the Lord is with every believer. In fact, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord will never leave or forsake who? Every believer. Blessed art thou. Again, the blessing there is the unmerited blessing that comes from God. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Again, it was a belief in biblical times. If you would see an angel, that death was only moments away. And when this angel comes and says to her, you are highly favored, God wants me home. It looks like I'm going to be out of here, more than likely what was going through her mind. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast merited favor. Again, the word favor is grace. No, she found it. She didn't earn it. She didn't do anything to deserve it. She found it. She found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, that's all future tense. And Mary could easily say, well, that's great, that's wonderful. I can't wait for these things to happen. Gabriel had in mind, though, that this was going to be present tense, that this was going to happen immediately. Now, obviously, the things in the life of Jesus would take place over time, but Mary was thinking, okay, when Joseph and I finally come to the place in our relationship where this marriage is consummated, well, then maybe these things will happen, but she certainly wasn't expecting it at this point in time. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, some may ask, well, what's the difference between Mary's question here and Zacharias' question that we studied this morning when he complained about him being old and past the time of child rearing? A couple of things need to be pointed out as far as difference. Zacharias had the benefit of history. You go back in about 2,000 years before this and come to the story of Abraham, and you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, how God had spoken to them and said that they were going to conceive and have a son, and Abraham said, well, you know, I'm a pretty old guy. Generally speaking, that doesn't happen to men my age or women Sarah's age. And God said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And in the very same way that Zacharias and Elizabeth would have a child, Abraham and Sarah already had one. So there is history to show that what God was intending to do to Zacharias could be done. Mary did not have that benefit. God was doing something totally supernatural, never having been done in history before. Secondly, Mary's question was not whether God could do this, but how God was going to do this. In Mary's mind, the only way of conceiving a child was through natural means. And Mary was not willing to sacrifice godliness in order to accomplish the will of God. I wish more people today had that same attitude. We have an attitude today that says, no, whatever it takes to get the job done, that's what we're going to do. The ends will justify the means. May I say to you, that is never, ever in the will of God. God is concerned about the means as much as He is concerned about the ends. And God only uses godly means to accomplish godly purposes. Mary was not willing to sacrifice her virginity in order to accomplish something great even for God. And she could not conceive, pardon the pun, of how God would ask her to do that. And she was correct. So her question is not, can God do that, as Zacharias was asking, but how can God do that? Big difference. To which Gabriel gives an answer. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing, in other words, holiness is not going to be violated here, which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And as to whether God can do this, Mary, I want you to understand something. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, I understand this to mean that Mary already knew that Elizabeth was with child. Now, understand, Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. This is the sixth month. Elizabeth has now had a month where it has become known. I believe that the only way you can understand this, that it would make sense to Mary, is if Mary understood already that Elizabeth was pregnant. If that wasn't the case, Mary would say to Gabriel, wow, that's fantastic. I didn't know that. It would not be reassuring to her. In that she knew that, then Gabriel's statement, I think, is a statement that can reassure her that God can do the incredible. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. God has spoken to her through the angel Gabriel. He has communicated to her that this miraculous thing is going to take place. She will be the vehicle in which the Son of God will come into the world. He has given some instruction here or some prophetic discourse as to who he will be, what he will do. And Mary arose in those days, and I take it from what takes place here, this the conception of the Lord Jesus within her took place immediately upon her declaration of verse 38. She arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now let's stop here for just a second. When Elizabeth says, "the mother of my Lord," the only understanding that is acceptable with this is that she recognizes that the child that Mary is carrying is none other than God himself. That's the only way you can understand that. There's no getting around, as Jehovah's Witnesses try to say that Jesus was created by God, but he wasn't Jehovah. The only acceptable understanding here is when she says, "the mother of my Lord," unless she is blaspheming, is that Jesus is actually God incarnate. How did she know that? At this point in time, it doesn't look as if Mary has said anything to her yet. How did Elizabeth know that? Verse 41 says, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Could it be? In fact, I'm not going to ask a question. I'm going to state it affirmatively. Elizabeth knew with absolute certainty because the Holy Ghost had revealed it unto her. And he doesn't lie. "Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." How did Elizabeth know that God had communicated anything to her? Well, again, the Holy Spirit. And may I say also that in the same way that God had communicated to Zacharias what was going to take place, I think she probably just figured out that that's how God was going to act once again. "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify myself." Oh, no, wait a minute. That's Catholicism. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Well, 9 months before he was born, almost immediately after his conception, she is saying, God has raised the low estate of his handmaiden, and from henceforth generations shall call me blessed. Yes, she knew. "For he that is mighty." Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? "He that is mighty." Mary, did you know that your baby boy will walk upon the water? "He that is mighty." Yep, she knew. "Hath done great things, and holy is his name." Mary, did you know that your sleeping child is the great I Am? There's only one person that is holy. That's the great I Am. She knew. And His mercy is upon them that fear Him from generation to generation. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise again, the lame will walk, the dumb will speak. Mary, did you know these things? Yep, she knew those things. 9 months before the baby Jesus would be held in her arms, she knew those things. He has shown strength with His arm. Oh, by the way, what's attached to your arm? Yeah, your hand. He will calm the storm with His hand. He's Lord of creation. Yet she knew. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He will save our sons and daughters. He will provide a bright future for them. She knew. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. What did God speak to Abraham? That one day he would have a son who would rule the nations. Mary, did you know? She knew. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, which would be about the time that Elizabeth was going to deliver, and she returned to her own house. May I say to you that all 13 questions that this song asked about Mary, Mary could say, yes, I knew, even before they came to pass. How did she know? How did she know what could take place in the future? I want to give you 3 things tonight to sum this all up that you can apply to your own life. Number 1, Mary heard the Word of God. You can know what the future is about if you hear the Word of God. Now, 3 sub-points to that. First of all, she put herself in a place to hear. Look at verse 55 again. As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. What is she doing? She's going back into biblical history. Understand again, Abraham lived 2,000 years before this time. Mary, more than likely, did not have a Bible of her own. Remember, the printing press wasn't invented for another 1,500 or 1,600 years from this point in time. Bibles weren't found everywhere. At best, they might have been found in a synagogue or in the temple. But people would know the Word of God as the Word of God was proclaimed in those places. So the people, in order to hear the Word of God and to learn the Word of God, had to go to those places. I take it from that verse that Mary was faithful in her attendance in the places where the Word of God was being proclaimed. And because she heard the Word of God there, she knew what the Word of God taught. Now I'm preaching to the choir. You're here tonight. You're in a place, and I commend you for coming out on such an ugly night as it is tonight. Of course, the football game's over, so what was there to watch anyway, right? That's not the issue. I understand that people might stay home tonight, and I am not being critical of that. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to hear the Word of God tonight, and some of our congregation is not going to. Not to pat myself on the back, but I think you're going to be better off than they are. Not because of the abilities of this preacher, but because of the nature of God's Word. Now, yes, they can be at home and they can be reading, and I commend them if they are. But the fact of the matter is, Mary put herself in a place where she could hear the Word of God. And she benefited. Secondly, she put herself in a position to hear the Word of God. Go back with me to verse 26. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Why did God send Gabriel to Mary?
Ah.
Well, the verse tells us she was a virgin. That didn't come naturally. That just didn't happen in her life. She was living in a day and age, as I noted this morning, that was filled with immorality and the lifestyle of people was ungodly. And yet here's a woman, for whatever reasons, and I'm going to tell you what they are in just a second, had kept herself morally pure. Why did she do that? Because I think she heard the Word of God and she understood what the will of God was. And she knew, I believe, that God was going to use, according to Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin to fulfill His will. She put herself in a position where Gabriel could speak to her. Gabriel could not speak to just anybody. He had to find a virgin. Thirdly, as a subpoint, she put herself among persons who could encourage her with the Word of God. Why did she go to Elizabeth? Well, I think Elizabeth had already declared what Zacharias had communicated to her. One of those things from this morning. I still kind of like that thing. And Elizabeth understood what was going on. And Elizabeth knew what was going to take place. And when she comes into Elizabeth's presence, Elizabeth is there and encourages her, saying, "This is what God is going to do." And the word was repeated in her presence, and she was built up by the Word of God. And consequently, she knew what was going to take place. But just hearing the word is not all that's necessary. Secondly, she believed what she heard. Look at verse 45 once again. "And blessed is she that believed." You see, anybody can tell you what the Word of God says, but it will not benefit you until you believe it. I tell you that it's going to rain cats and dogs tomorrow. And you say, "Okay, I heard what you had to say, but I'm going to plan a picnic outside." Well, what means that you don't believe what I'm telling you is going to happen. Or it's going to snow 5 feet. Well, that's too bad. We're having this picnic outside tomorrow. Well, that's not good planning. You simply don't believe what's going to take place. Ah, but you say, "Wait a minute, it's going to snow tomorrow. Maybe I better change my plans." Why would you change your plans? Because you believe what the weather forecast is. Now, weather forecasters aren't always very accurate, but God is accurate even better than ivory soap, which is 99.44% pure. God is 100% accurate. And she believed what God said. There's a saying that seeing is believing, but biblically it's just the opposite. Believing is seeing. And because she believed what God said, she got to see what God said. Unlike the Jewish leadership that would come to her, actually come to her son later on, but actually cast a despairing remark against her, saying, "We be not born of fornication," indicating that your mother was not pure. No, they didn't believe the word. She did. They didn't see the truth. They wouldn't know what's going to happen. In fact, Paul says if they knew that he was the King of Glory, they would have never crucified him. They simply didn't know she did. But then there's also a third thing, and I'll close with this. Verse 38, she not only heard the word, she not only believed the word, but thirdly, she experienced the word. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto somebody else according to thy word.'" Be it unto me. Lord, not only have I heard what you said is going to happen in the future, not only do I believe that you can do it, but I am putting myself at your disposal. Use me however you want and let it come to pass. And consequently, She was a vehicle that God could use to accomplish His will, and she knew the answer to all these questions. Oh, did she know that Jesus would literally walk on the water one day? Well, I doubt she knew that, but I bet you she knew that He could. Did she know that He would give sight to a boy that was born blind? Well, she probably may not have known the particular instance, but she sure knew that He could. Did she know that He would heal a paralytic who had been that way for 38 years? No, she probably didn't know the particulars, but she knew that He could. What do you know about what's going to happen in the future? Has God said anything? Well, yeah, He's given us a good bit of information of what the future will be like. Have you read it? Have you heard it? Have you believed it? Are you willing to be used of God to accomplish it? If the answer to those questions are all yes, you pretty well know what's going to happen. Mary, did you know? Yeah, she knew. Let's be people who know too. Father, thank You for these tonight who have come out in this weather to hear Your word and to worship You. Lord, may we be found with hearts that are believing and wills that are given over to accomplish Your will, just as this servant Mary was, who found grace. And while she may not have understood every little detail of what was going to happen, she could look to the future with promise and eager anticipation. Lord, may we do the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good week.